speeches, really a sermon in American history, was the I Have a Dream speech. Now, we live in a time of kind of resurrected racial tensions that are happening around the country, and a lot of people have opinions about those things. People say, Pastor, what do you say? I say Jesus is the answer to prejudice, to racism. And listen to me, the church has been absent mostly from the conversation that's going on in our country, which is heated, because the church hasn't conquered that spirit in our own midst. The church is almost always all white, all black, all Hispanic, all Asian. And I just want to applaud all the beautiful black brothers and sisters that are here today that came to hear a white guy preach, belong to our church. You're awesome. All the beautiful Hispanic brothers and sisters, come on. Buenos dias. Everyone else, now listen to me. We have to show the world how to create a community. And Jesus fills us with love for people and helps us overcome. This is your year to make a friend that doesn't look like you. Because simple little solutions, the government can't fix a spiritual problem. Amen? It can't fix a spiritual problem. So I'm excited about the opportunity for Jesus to do some incredible things. Amen? And so much of, listen, the all-white church will say something to their all-white congregation that they would never say in a mixed congregation. The all-black church will say things, even if they mean them, they would not. See, when we become a body, and you can tell me about your world, and I can show you about my world, and we understand and love each other, it helps us be more Christ-like. Amen? So I'm excited. I think CFTN has 100 nations in it. 100 nationalities. And that's not even counting my Swedish background. So don't give up on America. Don't isolate yourself from the cry of people's hearts. I'm continuing a series today called Unlocking the Potential of Your Future. And as you open your Bibles, or if you'd like this, today's notes, we'll make them available to you. Let me tell you this story. There was a new pastor in town going around house to house in his community, introducing himself and inviting neighbors to church. He knocked on a certain door, and he could tell someone was inside, but no one would answer. So he took one of his business cards, and he wrote the scripture reference, Revelation 3:20. And then the next service, after he'd finished preaching and after the service was done, an usher handed him that same church card with another reference that said Genesis 3:10. Here's what these two references mean. The pastor wrote Revelation 3:20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears, open the door, I will come in. And the person inside wrote Genesis 3:10. I heard your voice and I was afraid, for I was naked. First point. It's impossible to unlock the potential of the future as long as we're still bound and blinded by the pain of the past. The greatest struggle is not showing people tomorrow. It is getting them set free from yesterday. So that is the journey we have. And in the kingdom of God, God gives us the truth and the tools to create new seasons of fresh dynamics and great potential, because we can be free from things around us. Genesis 41, the story of Joseph, and Joseph bore two sons before the years of famine came, from Anasnip, the daughter of Potipharah, the priest of On, bore to him. This was an arranged marriage from Pharaoh, and he has two sons. The name of his firstborn son was Manasseh. Everybody say Manasseh. It means to forget. For he said, the Lord God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. The word toil, alma, means sorrow, labor, grief, pain, exhaustion, trouble, misery, fatigue, anguish. It means to labor or toil to the point of exhaustion. It is a great word describing the emotional devastation that he had gone through from his brother's betrayal. And the name of his second son was Ephraim. For God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Ephraim means double portion fruitfulness. It's your double portion year. God's ready to do more than you've ever seen before. God's ready to increase, to expand, to overflow. God's ready to multiply. God's ready to accelerate. God's ready to release what's been bound, heal what's been hurt. God's ready to restore what's been lost. God's ready, ready, ready. Double portion time. But it takes double portion forgiveness before you can have double portion fruitfulness. So the Lord had given him this capacity. And so he identifies both his past, his problematic and hurtful and traumatic history, in his first son's name to forget, Manasseh. And he identifies the great promise of his future in Ephraim, double portion fruitfulness. So let's talk about that today, because God's ready to do something. Many years ago, I've told this story many times that I won't go into detail, but I was hurting because of something that had happened with people that we loved and were close to, and I felt betrayed by their actions, and it just was so much deep sorrow. And the Lord said to me, would you like to be healed of the pain you feel about that circumstance? And I said, yes, Lord. The Lord said, I want you to forgive them and bless them every day. And I said to him, well, I'll do it, but I won't mean it, because my emotions won't be in sync with my words. And the Lord said, do it by faith, not by feeling. And then he showed me a vision. And the vision was a long train. I grew up in Iowa up till 5. And it had these beautiful, massive trains. And they have an engine at the front. And then maybe a mile worth of cars in the very end, the caboose. And so I had this vision. And the engine had blazing across it the word faith. And very back at the very end at the caboose was the word feelings. And I got it. When we set our faith in motion, eventually our feelings will catch up to our faith. Don't wait till you feel like forgiving somebody to forgive them. Forgive them, and eventually you'll feel it. So Joseph has a great future, but oftentimes the people with the greatest future and destinies go through the most heartache and miseries. And if you're not careful, you'll be disqualified from the full reach and potential of your destiny because you haven't been able to let go of the disappointments and heartache and betrayals of your history. So he named his son Manasseh, and the Lord said, tell my people it's going to be their best year ever. Tell my people I'm ready to do something great. I'm ready to restore the years to them. But they have to forgive. They have to let go. They have to make sure they don't carry last year's disappointments into this year's discoveries. That they don't carry last year's traumas into this year's triumphs. That they don't carry last year's betrayals into this year's blessings. God's ready to do something great. So the Lord said to me, son, forgive. When I started praying for that situation every day, I did it 4 times a day because of my schedule, and I would drive past a certain building where so much of that was happening. And so I blessed them every day. God blessed them, helped them, strengthened, and nothing happened. I said things I felt like I didn't mean for 6 weeks. And after a while, if you do something long enough, it becomes kind of routine. Oh, God, I bless them. There's the church. There's a steeple. Open the door. See the people. Bless them all. Bless them all. Blah, 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 blah. And so I'm just going. I'm blessing them. And all of a sudden, heaven came into my car. I don't remember driving home. I have no consciousness. What happened? Somebody drove that car. I was weeping. I felt an ocean of love for them. The same people I had felt that ocean of pain before, 5 minutes before. I felt heaven sweep into my heart. I saw things clearly. I saw that they weren't bad people, that we were just going through a horrible thing and people were kind of running for their life. I saw things. You see, as long as you see life through the prism of your pain, you'll always see a distorted reality. But when you get healed, you can see things better. And I realized, listen to me, I realized I didn't hurt anymore. Because when we choose to forgive people for what they've done to us, God anoints us to forget the pain they caused us. I was driving past a building in Scottsdale we used to own, and 17 acres on Shea and Frank Lloyd Wright. And we were driving, taking the family to Payson up to Greer for Christmas time. And we drove. I drove past a building. Listen to me. That I had. We were building a 4,800 seat auditorium. We had so much invested there. And I looked at it without 1 ounce of pain, regret, sorrow, depression. It didn't hurt, because when we forgive people, Jesus removes the emotional trauma, and He heals us as if it never happened. Well, Pastor, I've been through a divorce, or I had someone die. I was neglected. I was betrayed. I was traumatized. I was abused. I know those are all horrible things. I'm not belittling those things. But your God is greater than your pain. And forgiveness gives God a chance to show you how great He is. I promise you, I dare you to forgive the people that have hurt you. Forgiveness is not a feeling, it's a choice. Your life cannot forget what your heart will not forgive. They used to say, you know, just kind of a colloquial phrase, time heals all wounds. It does not. Anything that is left to itself gets worse. Just don't mow your yard. Where do weeds come from? I don't know. It's magical. Weeds. Anything unattended becomes corrupted. That's why evolution is such a joke. Nothing improves without God in it. Time does not heal all wounds. Jesus heals all wounds. The longer you let something be unresolved, the more damage it causes to your soul. Forgiveness is your master key that unlocks every door from the prison of the pain of your past. Forgiveness gets you out of every place that brokenness and demons try to lock you into. You can break out of any prison with forgiveness. You can get out, baby. I'm breaking out this year. This is your Jesus in the Lord's Prayer gave us our, we sang it today, our Father in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The word forgive used here is ephemi. And aphemi means to shoot an arrow. It means to let it go. 1, 2, 3, let it go, let it go. Come on, all of you with small kids. Dun-dun-dun. That song was tormenting me a few months ago. Get out of my head. Out, out. Grandkids watching the movie. Poppy, here comes the song. I know, I can hardly wait. My favorite, yeah, let it go. Oh, let it go. So forgiveness takes things in your life and removes them out of your life. It releases you. It frees you. This is your Manasseh season. What we allow God to do in us today determines what God is allowed to do through us tomorrow. Let me say that again. What we allow God to do in us today determines what God is allowed to do through us tomorrow. You can't become a king when you have offense and hatred in your heart against the people you're called to reign over. God can't give you your destiny if you'll use it as an agenda for vengeance against your enemy. Someday when I got it, I'll show you. No, you won't. Number two, hidden among the confusion, pain, and discouragement of your past is a heavenly prophetic revelation of the incredible promise, purpose, and potential of your future. Your destiny is buried in the rubble of your history. See, people ask me, Pastor, I need to know my destiny. I listen, this is called the dream room. I pray like crazy for you, and I pray, God, encounter your church today. Open minds and hearts and spirits and souls. Open us up so we can dream again. This is the dream room. Now, what happens is we spend so much of our life trying to escape our past that we don't realize we can't have fulfill the potential of the future until we've conquered the pain of that past. So let me ask you, where has the devil caused the most damage? Well, Pastor, the devil attacked me there, it attacked us there. Here's what the Bible says in Isaiah 61:7. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. Instead of confusion, you shall rejoice in the portion. Confusion, you'll have double portion wisdom. In their land, they shall possess double. God says, okay, everything that went wrong in that same place, I'm going to build something right. You're almost with me. David was crowned king. His first thing, got a little band together. He said, we're going on a field trip today. What are we going to do? We're taking back something the devil stole from Israel. And they went down the road to a little city called Jebus. We call it Jerusalem. It was called Jebus commonly because the Jebusites for almost 1,000 years had illegally occupied the city of God. And David went there and said, I'm taking this city back. This city does not belong. America does not belong to the devil. Arizona does not belong to the devil. Stop. Your family does not belong to the devil. Your business does not belong to the devil. Your future belongs to God. So David said, I'm taken back. And David took the city of Jebus, and it was called the city of David, Zion. It became the most important spiritual real estate in all the world. Zion. 1,000 songs written, Zion. Zion. Where Zion was a hill infested with demons until a conqueror came and said, I'm taking, God's called you to be the conqueror in your family. God's called you to take back what the devil's done. In the place where the devil's done the worst, your God wants to do the best. God's ready to take the worst things of your history and make them become the best things of your destiny. It's your turnaround time. It's your rest. If you can forgive them, you can get past them. If you can let it go and bless your enemies, God will give you the so true. Joseph says in Genesis 50:20, as for you, you meant evil. The word meant is a great Hebrew word. It means to interpolate, to weave, to purpose, to imagine, to think. So David said, you contrived and then you wove a scheme of betrayal against me. But God meant it for good. There's nothing God can't redeem. There's no such thing as an unredeemable place, an unredeemable person. Yeah. Pastor, what God's going to do next? Well, look whatever the devil is doing. And right there, heaven's going to do something great. Look who's had the most unjust and painful history. And those people are going to be the most powerful instruments of destiny. Job 42:10 says, and God turned to captivity, restored the losses, restored the fortune of Job. When he prayed for his friends, indeed the Lord gave him twice as much as he lost. Someone say, double. Okay. God says, Job was a wealthy, godly, righteous businessman. Hail, fire, everything, the devil poured out hell on him. Most of his family is gone, his wealth is gone. So God says, I'm giving everything back twice as much. Oh, by the way, go pray for those guys, your friends. And if you read the book of Job, with friends like that, who needs enemies? They accused him of being prideful, of secret sin, of having no faith. See, when you're down, you'll find out what people really think about you. As long as you're succeeding or have influence, but when you get low, you'll find out who's really with you and who ain't with you. And his friends became the spirit of religion. Instead of helping people when they're down, condemns them for falling. The spirit of religion tries to find what's wrong with you instead of what's right with God. The spirit of religion breaks people's hearts when they need healing the most. And God said, if you can bless them three jokers, I know it's tough. If you can just bless them, I can give you back what life took from you. I can give you back what life took from you. Ah, so many stories. Genesis 35. Almost done. Say Manasseh. Shout Manasseh. Yeah, we're coming back in a minute. Genesis 35. Jacob and Rachel are about to have their last son, Benjamin. Here's what the Bible says. Rachel comes into labor. It's hard labor. The midwife says, don't fear. You'll have a son. And so it was, as her soul was departing, for she died, she called the name of her son Benoni, which means son of my great sorrow. Now, please look at me. Parents don't have children so they can curse them. But listen to me. God can't bless something until you stop cursing it. And so this wonderful, Rachel's in the Hall of Fame. She's not a nobody. She's not an insignificant. She's a hero for God. But in her last season, she went through so much personally painful, crippling anguish. She was not able to sever her pain from her child. If your parents hurt you, they didn't want to. They just had so much pain, they passed it on to you. And she dies. And her last sentence is a curse. You're cursed. My great sorrow. The nurse opens the tent and says to Jacob, I'm so conflicted, Jacob. It's a day of light and darkness, of good and evil. You have a baby son, but your bride, your love, your soulmate has died. And she passes the boy to Jacob, and she says, your wife named him Benoni. Oh, Jacob loved Rachel. They were like Mary and I. We still hold hands. I still open the doors. I still chase around the house. Occasionally catch her. She's the great love of my life. And Jacob would honor the words of this woman, but he said, no. I know my wife didn't mean to. I know if she was okay, if she was in her right mind, if she wasn't hurting so bad, she wouldn't have cursed him. And Jacob said, I know about being cursed. They cursed me. Instead of calling me an overcomer, they called me a con man. My name, Jacob, means swindler, heel grabber, usurper. All my life I've been cursed by what they called me. I won't allow my wife's pain to pass to my son's destiny. And he took the boy and said, God, this is Benjamin, son of my right hand. He'll be my closest son, my most loved son. I'll make the evil that he was born into become the greatness of his own destiny. I'm going to turn it around for him. Last point. Can I have 5 more minutes? Wave your hand. 5, 10, 15, 20. There we go. Last point, ultimately, it will always be up to me and you how much God will be able to do. This is where I lose some people, especially theologians. But the problem with theology, without experience, it's just theory. Theology without experience is religion. Experience without theology is deception. But theology and experience equals the kingdom of God. So, God wants to do something. Well, Pastor, God will do whatever he wants to do. No. God will do as much as we allow him to do. Come on, stay with me. Why do we pray? Not just as a devotional exercise. We pray to bring heaven to earth. We pray to release the will of God. We pray for things to change. They don't change without someone being the agent of change. Okay. Genesis 41. Without God, we cannot. Without us, he will not. That's 2.5 years of Bible seminary. That's $10,000 worth of truth. Pharaoh sent, Genesis 41, Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph. And they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. Now, I could spend the whole day talking about acceleration. Because what happens in life, people lose things, they lose time, they lose years, and they think, I can't catch up. But God can condense into a few weeks of sovereign visitation, a decade worth of losses restored. I will restore the years to you. So they brought him out, and Joseph shaved and changed his garments. Joseph shaved. See, God wants you to go through hell and come out smelling like heaven. And they came out of the fiery furnace, and not even the smell. Come on. What's wrong, Pastor? Been through hell. Wrote a country album. I wish that wasn't true. It's true. OMG. You don't get it. You can't bring life to Pharaoh when you're carrying death from your history. You can't inspire someone else's dream when you're still weeping over your nightmare. Shave it off. Shave it off. Because you can't look like your history when you enter into your destiny. Change your garments. Three times he changed garments. His brothers stole. They ripped from him and tore into shreds his coat of many colors in betrayal. Potiphar's wife took from his coat of integrity and leadership at the house of Potiphar. And now God says, see, the cross is when things are taken from you. You know you found your cross when stuff just gets poor. Without your approval, you start losing. But you know you found your destiny when God invites you to take some stuff off. If you can let go of that, I can give you this. Come on, come on. These palace guards saying, this is from Nordstrom's. This is a $7,000 suit. Take off that filthy prison garment and put on your destiny. And Joseph did the last point. Here we go. Exodus 32. When Moses saw that the people were unrestrained for Aaron and not restrained them to their shame among their enemies, Moses stood at the entrance of the camp. Moses is in glory for 40 days. Doesn't eat, doesn't drink, suspended from time. Natural needs are met by the glory of God. He comes down, his face is glowing. His face is shining like Pastor Chad's. Yeah. The glory. It's not the haircut, it's the glory. And he comes down, and the associate pastor, Aaron, had not controlled people because seasons of delay will always resurrect our suspicions against God's goodness. And they make a golden calf and they dance around naked and they're doing inappropriate things and they're drunk. Moses comes down from glory into that mess. And they all quiet themselves and to their shame. And he shouts out, who's on the Lord's side? Let him come to me. Judah's over there. I need some coffee. Let me find my clothes. Reuben's over there, the firstborn. Simeon over there. Ephraim, Manasseh, everybody running around. But suddenly bursting through from the back corner, from the most dishonored location of the tribes of Israel, came a group of righteous men. Came a group, their heads up, their chest out. They had not drunk. They had not fallen. They had not bowed to Baal, but they came through and said, we're on the Lord's side. He said, who are you boys? We're the sons of Levi. Ah, Levi. Genesis 48, 9 in your Bible. The old man, his last thing was to bless his sons, but he curses Simeon and Levi. He curses them. Look at it. It's unbelievable. Simeon and Levi, Genesis 49, our brothers, instruments of cruelty. Let not my soul enter their counsel. Let not my honor be united to them. Cursed be their anger. I will divide them in Jacob. Instead of being blessed, they were cursed. For hundreds of years, generations in Levi carried the curse of previous generations until one day, God said, who's on? You're breaking curses today. You're breaking family curses. You are the Levite. You are the champion. You are the overcomer. You're the one that's going to do what others have not done and go where others have not been and see what others have not seen. You are the prince. You are the princesses. You are the world shakers, the history men. You are the ones. God tells Moses a few months later, I've changed my mind about something. What do you mean, God? Well, I know that Aaron and his sons and the firstborn of families were supposed to be priests, but I want them Levites to be the priests of the Most High God. And God gave, listen to me, God gave the most cursed people the most blessed position on the planet to care for his presence. You're almost with me. Pastor, what's my destiny? To see a curse become a blessing. What's my destiny? To overcome the heartache of past generations. What's my destiny? To escape habits and cycles and bondages and rituals and lies and belief systems that have imprisoned you. The devil's a liar. You're the one. It's your time. It's your season. It's your moment. It's your year. God's ready. God's ready. God's ready. If you'll let him, God will do something great in this year in your life. Come on, stand up and give God a shout of praise. Someone say, Jesus. Prayer team, would you please join me down front? I'm going to count to three in just a minute. Here's what I want us to do as an exercise of faith. Say this out loud. This is my year. Come on, this is my double portion year. This is my breakthrough year. This is a kingdom harvest year. This is a destiny year. This is a salvation year. This is a restoration year. This is the healing year. Now, we can't get there. We can get there by forgiving our way there. So I want you to think about your life, your family, your history, the people that messed with you, the people that hurt you, that lied to you, betrayed you, left you, maybe abused you violently, physically, emotionally, sexually, spouses that left, failure, people that didn't support, people that weren't there, wherever they were. Today we're letting it go. 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 Today we're letting it all go. And so just right now, if the Holy Spirit brings anyone to your memory, oh, he said, God, I bless them, I forgive them. I bless them, I forgive them. Your ex-boss, your ex-spouse, your children, your parents, your siblings, your neighbors, your business, God, I bless them, I forgive them. I'm letting it go today, God. I'm unshackling my soul from those disappointments and heartaches. And I'm counting to three. When I count to three, I want you to shout Manasseh. And when you shout Manasseh, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to send a deluge of heaven, an anointing to forget trauma, an anointing to release heartache, an anointing for new beginnings and fruitfulness to be born. Something's about to happen. God's about to set you free. God's about to set your future free. God's about to release the potential of everything his promises. Are you ready? One, get ready. Someone say Manasseh, Manasseh, Manasseh. Two, we're going to shout at top of our lungs. Are you ready? Three, Manasseh. Come on, Manasseh. 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 Someone shout, it's gone. Someone shout, it's gone. I let it go. Brother Bill, grab hands with your wife there.